design that is not even feasible, but yet down to the details. Y'all good? Now let's look. I want to start somewhere that's kind of a little different. Isaiah 53, let's look at verse 8. Because we cover those first few verses most of the time. But I think this is so good. And I don't know how long we'll be tonight. I really don't. I'd just love to preach about this because there's so much power in it. Let's go. He was taken from the prison. Do y'all see that right there? He was taken from the prison. How contrary is that? And we know that Jesus Christ was in prison for a period of time before the judgment, before Pontius Pilate. He was taken and put in prison. He was taken and to the king and then beaten. They placed a purple robe upon him. And they feigned worship and bowing like he was a king, and they brought him and they beat him unrecognizable. They take that king's garment off, the purple and the crown, and they put his garment. You know, they strip him back down to nothing. We see that, but how much contradictions there? Could you imagine being in the prison that day that Jesus was thrown in the prison? Amen. You got your two. We know for a fact the two thieves that are going to be crucified with him and Barabbas, that he was in there. So all of a sudden now you're sitting in prison with Jesus. Wow. You know, can I say it this way? Jesus is still visiting prisons today. He cares about the people that are incarcerated. He cares about the people who are isolated. He cares about the people that nobody else cares about. Jesus will show up. I'll bet you that's some of the beginning of the one thief that come to understand who he is the beginning or the seeds that are being sown that he needs to convert to Christ. Amen? You don't just come to Jesus overnight. You don't just say, all right, I heard about Christ, now I'm going to come to him. Most cases are not like that. Usually it's a planting and a watering, and then God gives the increase. But it would be something. I just think, man, what a contradiction is. They're throwing Jesus in here. What could I know? We've done this whole thing as kids and was growing. You know, what are you in? What are you in for? I'm in for murder. What are you in for? I'm in for sedition. What are you in for? I led a rebellion. He goes, I'm a thief. You know, we were a big. You know, we were stealing stuff everywhere, and you know, we got caught several times. And this is the end of the road for us. What'd you do? Well, I cast out devils. I healed the blind. I healed the sick. I set people free. But I think I really started getting in trouble when I went down to the temple and turned the tables over. I think that's where I really messed up. I think that's where they had enough of me is when I went down there and I said, you know what, and I'm kind of preach to you right here just a little bit if you'll allow me. I went down there and turned those tables over because what they were charging for, they couldn't afford and there is no price for. Amen. I know a lot of times over the years, I'm not a big buy and sell at the church person. I just don't know. It don't make me feel comfortable. But like as a child coming up, I went to a church. You just couldn't sell anything anywhere near. Get out of here. No CDs at the front. The singers would have to be out in the parking lot. It was weird. But you know why? They didn't want to be in that same category as buying and selling in the house of God. But that is not what that was about. What it was about when Jesus came, they were profiting off of people trying to get to Jesus, trying to get to God. They were saying, if you have some money, we'll give you a sacrifice. If you'll buy this, it's overcharged and overpriced, then we'll give it to you. Then you can go in and you can reach God for your sins and your sacrifice. And what God said in His Word was, if somebody can't afford it, you give it to them. Because it's free. And if they can't afford it, you use yours and theirs together. Amen? You allow them to come in and fall under your sacrifice. But instead, they were trying to profit. What it was ultimately, and we know this because we should be a little bit further along in our faith. We know this. What it was is a direct line that Jesus Christ was going to be our sacrifice for sin. And ultimately, you couldn't afford, you can't put a price tag on your sins being forgiven. So when Jesus came to the temple, he was really upset with them saying, you can't afford it. You couldn't pay enough. It's free, amen? You couldn't afford it, and it's free. What a big deal that is, amen? We can't afford it, couldn't pay for it. There's no dollar amount. It's freely given, amen? Man, that should, I don't know about you, and I don't like to, you know, I don't want to be shouting and running the whole time, getting loud for loud's sake. But praise God, I think about stuff like that all the time. Something, man, God is good to us, amen? We should be some of the most happy, content, joyful people on the face of the planet, because guess what? We didn't deserve salvation, and we freely got it, and we're standing in it. Man, what a good deal. I mean, we should be able to start conditioning ourselves to a certain degree that as we get on in life, we should expect some things to happen to us and get our mind. Peter says this, you know, prepare your mind to suffer as Christ did, and that's where you'll know you pass from death unto life, because you'll be like, hey, I know I'm going to suffer, but praise God, I'm not going to suffer like everybody else is, because I got promises. And man, we sometimes, I believe American Christianity sometimes is kind of, we get spoiled. We act, when something bad comes our way, we kind of fall apart a little bit. We shouldn't fall apart. We should just fall out on Jesus. We should be able to worship during those times and literally look to lead other people to Christ, because when we should be falling apart, we should be like, hey, I'm getting closer to Jesus. And I know, listen, don't leave me and say, oh, that old kid, well, he's a superhero. Hey, it's times when I get shook. But praise God, even in those times, I've had God lift me up. And you know what I mean? I've been in those times where you're sitting there going, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, but you know what? God always comes through. And you'll be surprised. There'll be somebody around you who needs to hear that either way, I'm going to be good. Amen. But I just thought, man, how awesome that would be to be in the prison when Jesus was in there. And that's another thing. I like to preach like that. Everybody does. Jesus was an inmate. Praise God. Our religion ain't built up on a bunch of people who don't know what it's like to be around some rough people. Amen? I mean, sometimes we act like we're so sanitized that we can't get around people. Y'all probably heard me. We act like, you know, somebody says a cross word or a different kind of curse word. You know? My goodness, if we'd just get a little bit of skin about ourselves, we could stand in there and tell them why we don't do those things anymore, or why it's not necessary. Amen? I got one of the greatest testimonies there is when it comes to cussing. I used to be an artful cusser. Amen? I thought, I could string some words together. But praise God, God saved me and changed my life. Somebody said, have you ever seen God do a miracle? I said, yeah, he changed my vocabulary. I said, you don't think that's a miracle, man? You ask my wife. It was a pretty big miracle. I mean, if I got upset, I would say some things to you. But if I was friends with you, well, I'd really string them together. Hey, buddy. I've been called to the office at my work before I got saved because me and my friends were having a good time and they thought we was going to get in a fight. Well, then I got saved, and guess what? The words just disappeared. I mean, they're gone, and I'm sitting there going, man, one of the biggest times of my life, if I got hurt, it was really on, amen? Like, if I got hurt, like if I smashed my knee, thumb, or anything like that, holes in the walls, things were being thrown, and they was, you know, exhibited. I remember, I tell this story, I shouldn't do it anymore, I'm about over it. But Melissa had a certain kind of desk and a certain kind of chair, and she put it by the bedroom door, and it was, I would run into this thing constantly. On my side, I thought it was in the wrong place. This is going on for 20 years. I had to throw that last part in. I can see it, I feel it. But anyway, I run into that thing shortly after I got saved. I plowed that thing good with my knee, and I walked into the bedroom, fell into the bed, and started laughing like a fool. And she said, what's wrong with you? I said, the words won't come out. I mean, I kind of really want to right now, and they're not there. I mean, they should be here. They're not here. Man, I was blown away. And God just did that probably because he kind of knew what kind of work I was going to get into, and it probably wouldn't go good. But he took that away, and I'm like blown away. That got me right away. I was like, man, I can't believe this. People say, oh, that ain't really a miracle. I'm like, I don't know. How are we? Are we just on that first verse on the top? Some I told y'all I didn't know how long we was going to be on this, and we've got like four words in. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, right? Let's get that part in, from judgment. Now, what another contradiction, right? Pontius Pilate, I believe he's going to be, he is one of the saddest stories in the whole Bible. But at the same time, I think he's got more in common with more people than we can even imagine. Amen? I believe he's got more in common with most people. Amen? And I'll give you the reason why. Pontius Pilate, if you won't believe this, I've kind of preached this different. I see a whole movie when I see Pontius Pilate, but I really believe this. Pontius Pilate is not accountable as the men that brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate. Okay? The Jewish people, if you remember, they said Caiaphas and the leaders of that time, he said, I don't want to do this. He said, let the judgment not be on you, but let it be on our heads and our children's heads. And it has been. Amen? But, and then Jesus even told him, he said, my judgment won't be as harsh as it is going to be on them as it is you, but it is going to be on you too. Amen? I love the story, if you really study it, the night that Jesus was coming into judgment before Pontius Pilate, his wife was disturbed in her spirit and told him, you don't need to have anything to do with this man. What she was telling him is, you need to wash your hands of this and not judge him at all. Well, I think she was saying is, let him go. Amen? That's an amazing thing. But Pontius Pilate, what he did is he had some political stuff going on. He had some personal stuff going on. And he had some pressure. He had some pressure to either accept who Jesus was or try to get along in the world that he lived in. Are y'all starting to see it now? Every person in this room and every person on this planet has been presented Jesus Christ. And you have to make a decision whether to get along in this current world or totally give yourself away to this Jesus who in this instance is dying on the cross. And listen, Pontius Pilate, if he was to say that this is the Christ, he might as well go out there and crawl on the cross with Jesus, because his life would be over quickly. I feel the Holy Spirit just kind of pulling this right here. He's in a place right there where he said, my life, I can't see an end that's going to work out good if I choose Jesus. Amen? But I guarantee you in his spirit, he was sitting there going, I can't see an outcome past this life that's going to be good without this guy. Amen? Listen, if you don't know, everybody in this room has been right there. I don't see how I'm going to live with this Jesus in this current life. This could be difficult. I don't know how I'm going to go on without this guy in my life. Amen? If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's salvation. And more, praise God, ain't it good right past that? When you finally say, you know what, I believe who you are, and I'd rather ruin my whole life than live my life without you. Man, life gets a whole lot better when you're in Jesus Christ. Boy, Pontius Pilate just couldn't see it. It was one of the greatest scenes in the whole Bible. He goes to the place which is called the pavement. I call it where the rubber meets the road. Amen. And we're all going to come to that place. He calls for the bowl. They bring it to him. He puts his hands in and he washes his hands. He goes, I'm washing my hands of this whole thing. You do what you want to with Jesus. I'm just going to stand right here in the middle, and I'm not going to make a hard decision either way. Jesus knew right away, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're all making a decision. Amen. You can act like you're putting it off. You're not putting it off. You're saying no. A wait to Jesus is no. Amen. He washed his hands of that. I'm a big visual person, but Jesus, one day, Pontius Pilate took his last breath on this earth, and he will stand before Jesus. And he will stand there and he will think, my God, Look what I could have traded. I wish I'd have gave my government up, my governorship. I wish I had stepped down. I wish I had got in the cell with him. I wish I'd have got on the cross with him. I wish I'd have just followed him. Amen? But that, what a contradiction. We're all doing that. We all got to make a decision. Can I go one step further? What I will. Praise God. Watch this. Guess what? We are all the governors of our own lives. Amen? You are the governor of your own life. You're going to govern whether you spend eternity in heaven or hell. You get to choose what you're going to do with Jesus. You can say, well, I'm just not going to deal with it. Listen to this. You're going to deal with it. Amen? One of these days, you're going to deal with it. Amen? Straight up. That's good. Man, that's good stuff. Let's go a little bit further. I'm trying to get to this. This is good, good stuff. There's so much meat here. If you'll look, I don't know how your Bible does it, but in mine, there are stars. These are all prophetic, so it means this is every bit about Jesus and what he did at the cross, okay? And the weeks and the days building up to the cross. And who shall declare his generation? He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Y'all, listen, it's right there, and I know y'all know this. This is redundant, redundant, redundant. But he was not crucified for anything he did. He was crucified for your sins. And the reason I'm telling you this, and there's no mistake that it's Sunday night and I'm teaching this, I thought to myself, Kevin, you're allowing God to move this message, the message this morning that was for this morning. It's absolutely God wanted it there. But then I'm like, why is God going to give me this real cross-heavy message for the what should be the saved part of our church? Amen? The more of a core church. I'm thinking, well, you know what? Because in 2022, we need to hear it more. We need to know what we believe, and we need to absolutely know where we're at, right, in our society, in our country, right? We're seeing things happen because right now, I don't know how any other way to say this, but I'm going to say it the way we should say it. We have somehow begun to condone sin, and we've done it for so long and on so many sins, and we never thought we'd have to go to the most grievous sins there are and explain those, but we're so far removed from where we started this exercise at. You know, don't judge them, just love them. Just love them where they're at. When did the church start judging people? We heard all this stuff for so long, it's crazy. What it should be is, you should be able to tell somebody the truth in love with them knowing it's love, but at the same time not letting them live in that sin, but also not cheering them on either. Amen? Because listen, you can say, I've heard this it's garbage. It's just garbage. Because let me tell you something, there is going to be a day that there are going to be absolute people who go into eternity. And I will believe your part of your judgment is you'll be able to see, hear, or understand. But because you said, I'm not going to tell them, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to hurt them. And that's a lie in itself too. Most of the time you won't tell anybody because you're worried about you. You're worried about you getting attacked or made fun of or criticized or hated on when you absolutely need to look at somebody and say, in the Bible, that says that is wrong and you shouldn't do it. It's not we don't condone our own sin. We don't say, hey, well, my sin's okay and your sin's not okay. My sin is just as wicked as yours, but I'm forgiven by Jesus. And when I commit a sin or when I fall into a sin, guess what? I ain't going to sit there and say, God, you better get on board with this. What I'm going to say is, I'm sorry for that. I'm going to try not to do that again. Amen? But there is no sin in this book that God calls a sin that we get to say, hey, God, you made me this way, and I'm going to stay this way, and you better get on board with that. And the Christians are supposed to sit over here and zip our lips and go, you just do you. We love you. That ain't love. That's absolutely not love. That's absolutely the opposite. It's hate. You hate that person because you're not telling the absolute truth. Amen? I know, listen, it's easy. I'm going to be honest with you. It's easy right now, 2022, up here on this mountain, Flat Top Church, to say that and preach it. But you go anywhere else other than this room right here. You go anywhere, and even some churches in Nashville, you go into different cities, and you say that same thing, and there'll be people in that church look at you and go, mm-mm. It'll be all right if they preach. It'll be all right if they teach. It'll be all right if they attend. It'll be all right if they join. It'll be all right. They're ordained members. You're wrong. And that's just not one sin, that's all sin. Amen? They'll say, well, this is wrong, but this right here, sin is sin. Amen? And the wages of sin is death, and that never changes. Amen? So that's easy. But I'm gonna start kind of conditioning you in this too. If we don't start opening our mouth, church, I'm not talking about getting in trouble. I'm not talking about going to jail. I'm not talking about being closed-minded. I'm talking about this. You are going to be witness to thousands and millions of people who are going to go off into eternity lost because you were silent. I don't care what people think about us in the world. I don't care what, well, that's politically incorrect and you might get shut down. I'm just talking about if you care about people's souls. Let me go a little bit further because I think we're going to pave some ground right here. Let me tell you another thing that should come with that. You should have a burden for somebody before you speak to them about Jesus, period. Does that help? Because praise God, you can say some things that you normally probably couldn't say to anybody, but if you start getting a burden for that person, you care about where they're at in their spirit, where they're going to live or die in heaven or hell, praise God, let me tell you something. God will give you the timing and the ability to speak to somebody, and it will work out right, amen? Even if the very moment it does not seem like it's right. We are conditioned in the church today, right now, that we do not confront sin because we don't want to bash people over the head with Christianity. My gosh. Can I be flat out honest with you? If my dad hadn't have told me absolute Christian truths, I would have died and went to hell. And listen, any biblical truth feels like somebody's caving your head in. The moment you realize they're telling you the truth in love, there's nobody greater in my whole life other than my dad when it comes to my salvation, other than Jesus. Because guess what? He told me the truth. I can take you to some porches, and I can take you to some houses where I was talking about dad about one thing, and all of a sudden he said, Kevin, I am worried about your soul. If you do not get saved, I'm afraid that you will not make it into eternity, and you will be in a place called hell, and I can show you in my... I'm looking at him going, why now? Why today? I just come to hang out, have a meal. What's wrong with you? The moment I got it, the moment that I repented of my sins, the moment that I got saved, guess who I called? Thank you, thank you, thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for telling me the truth. Thank you for never caving in. Thank you. And you know what he told me? Kevin, sometimes it was so hard. It was so hard. I thought about backing off. I thought about, well, I need this. But he goes, what in the world? How in the world am I going to go and preach to everybody in the whole world, but yet let my kid go to hell? He goes, how could I do that? And I was like, oh, Daddy, I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad you did. Man, listen, guys. It's us. We're the only ones. We're the only ones with the message. We're the only ones of hope of eternal life. What are we doing with it? We've got a treasure hidden in these earthen vessels. We've got the answer to what everybody's ailing on. Somebody, I guarantee you, if tomorrow you woke up and you brainstormed and came up with the cure of COVID, or the next day you came up with the cure of cancer, you'd be ever on every radio station, every TV show, every place going, if you take this and this, you'll be cured. You got the cure for whatever person in this world is dying from. And we keep it top secret, locked away, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. What the truth is we don't want to be rejected most of the time. That's what it really comes down to. We don't want to be hated on for a period of time. Amen? For a period of time. I'd rather somebody hate me all the way through, end up in eternity and go, at least there's one guy that loved me. They're going to be a bunch of jackals in hell. I don't even know why I'm preaching so much about hell, but I'm going to tell you this. Hey, going to be a lot of jackals in hell. What I mean by jackals is some people that say they were preachers and they weren't. And they preached a lot of stuff, prosperity, and you'll live your best life and do all that stuff. And they're going to be in hell. And they say, you never told us about this place. You never told us about this place. You never told us about this place. And there'll be some preachers that are hated on. People don't like them. They're old school, and they say these things. Praise God. That's at least, even if you end up in hell. Well, there was one preacher that told me, it was one man in my life. There's one woman in my life told me the absolute truth. I wouldn't have been here if I'd have listened to them. I'd rather have that on my record than being the most popular person in hell. Being down there and everybody like, man, he was a good guy. He was so cool. I've been in that situation in this church. Man, I'm scared sometimes. Somebody, well, you're a cool guy. You're a cool this. Praise God. I get upset because somebody else, they'll could do something again. And I have to go to them with tears running down my face and say, I don't want to be cool. I'm worried about your sin life. I don't want you to die in your sin thinking you can't come to me and talk to me. Praise God. I worry more about where you're going to spend eternity, whether I'm cool or not. Man, I'm telling you, we need to really get a burden for lost people. Some people say, what's going to happen in this world? Ain't nothing good going to happen until the church says, I'm sick and tired of having dead cold services and sitting on the sideline while the world just tears itself apart. And we ain't got to do nothing other than say, Jesus saved. You can get out of all that through Jesus Christ. What a word. Man, I'm telling you right now, I didn't think we was going to be preaching about heaven and hell tonight, but ain't you glad you showed up anyway? Boy, I'm telling you right now, this is what stirs your heart. When you really get down to it, a lot of things matter, but a lot of things don't matter. When you come right down to it, you get to say, wait a minute, heaven and hell, eternity matters. It matters. I'm glad to hear people on the altar praying. I'm glad to be people weeping before God. That'll get more done than anything else we do. Boy, that's good. And he was made his, oh, this is so good. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. What a good, man, that's another thing about Jesus. Right there at his death, y'all don't know that, but guess what? Joseph of Arimathea steps up and claims the body of Christ. He was somebody who loved Jesus, but he didn't know how to come on in on the right time. But God has already got people that are lined up on his side, amen? People who will, not people who might, amen? And old Joseph came out and said, can I get the body? And they said, well, what are you going to do with it? He goes, I'm going to prepare it for the ground, but I'm going to put him in my tomb. Joseph was rich. What a contradiction again. Jesus didn't have nothing on this planet, nothing. He was poor. The foxes have homes. The birds have. I don't even have a place to live. Praise God. Here, when he dies, they put him in one of the richest areas there were for a grave. Amen. What a contradiction. Most of those people are probably scoundrels, and there's the Son of God laying up there next to him for 3 days. Amen. Listen, most of them died thinking they had it all. They had nothing. This guy had nothing and had it all. Praise God, wouldn't it be good? It don't matter if you ever make yourself into a graveyard. Praise God, if you've got Jesus, you've got it all. You died as a winner. You gained everything that was important, and you lost nothing. You came in this world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. You might as well take Jesus with you. Boy, I like old Joseph thinking anyway. I bet some of his family's like, what are you going to do with that prime spot up there? Never mind. I could go on for about 20 years about prime grave spots. I get aggravated with people. Oh, it's a beautiful place right here. I like this graveyard. I'm sort of going, I can't stand this place. Let's go quick. Let's get out of here. It's where all the dead people hang out. Sorry, I just brought that up in church. Sorry. It's beautiful on the outside, but it's dead on the inside. I don't want to be here. Not before my time, amen? Well, praise God. Let me see. Jesus held Joseph and said, what are we going to do with that prime spot up here? He goes, I got a feeling. I don't know about for you, but I got a feeling. I don't know if that thing can hold him or not. I think that'll still be a prime spot not too long from now, amen? I still, man, if you get me, there's a couple places in the Bible I want to go. But, man, listen, Ed, I'll guarantee you, I know I kind of get a fit read on you on some things on this, but I guarantee you I would love to see Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus preparing the body of Christ. I'll bet you that was one of the best, beautifulest scenes in the Bible, period. Y'all don't know what I just said. Praise God, they had taken the dead body of Christ to men. They didn't do a good enough job. It's about 12 women that showed up the next day is going to do it right. Women could say amen. But what a beautiful, beautiful scene. Joseph Armenia and Nicodemus in that grave, in that tomb, washing the blood off of Jesus. I heard him speak one time. Whoo, my God. My heart leapt in me. All the money in my life wouldn't compare to what he had. Nicodemus said, man, one night I couldn't help it. I'd went to another board. I'd went to another meeting, the Sanhedrin meet, and we talked about this and we talked about that, and it was so dead and it was so cold and it was so without God, and it was in the middle of the night, and I had to see him. And I walked to the city where nobody would see me in the middle of the night. And I went to a door and I knocked. And as soon as I knocked, Jesus was standing at the door. And I tried to bribe him off with my words. I said, oh, we know that you are a teacher come from God. He looks at him and says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You don't know nothing until you've been saved. Let me preach. He sent her going that night. I went home that night and it burned within me. I'd rather have a dead Jesus than a dead religion. I'd rather be in this tomb with you holding this Jesus, this only thing I know about real life, than having all the meetings, having all the nice clothes, having all the nice churches and sanctuaries. Praise God, I'd rather be right here tonight loving on my Jesus rather than being anywhere else. I believe those two men walked out of that grave thinking, my God, what an honor, what a privilege to touch Jesus for the last time. 3 days later, they probably met each other. Glory. The grave couldn't hold him, and the clothes are all folded up neatly. My God. My Jesus. Man, what a story. There it is in the Old Testament. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Don't it make you excited again for him? Man, don't keep this hidden in your life. One of the greatest things about the gospel is we're supposed to share it with people outside the religious ceremony. We're supposed to share this when we sit down at the table, when we break bread with our families, when we break bread with strangers, when we're around people we don't even know. This is supposed to emanate off our lives. Some people should be able to say like this, I got out of bondage. I got out of my sin. Because of what Jesus did in my life. Let's all stand.